This is Mythical.
Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link. It's time for another conversation with someone interesting from the internet at the Round Table of Dim Lighting. Mm-hmm. This week, we have Flula Borg, German techno DJ and producer with a major YouTube presence and an extremely dedicated cult following. Now, he's hosted a number of shows on a number of channels, like What's Trending, Machinima, Screen Junkies, to name a few, but his own YouTube channel, which he started in 2007, boasts over 330,000 subscribers and over 44 million views.
Now, we really like Flula. Let's go ahead and just come clean here. We really like Flula.
From the first time we met him, yeah.
We met him at VidCon. He came up and introduced himself, and we just were immediately drawn to this guy's personality. He's hilarious.
Charismatic.
Yes.
And, happy.
And I would say unorthodox. And I don't think it's just because he's from Germany.
but he I'd say he does get a lot of mileage out of that.
Yeah, he does. But I think he's just... he's just a different dude, as is evidenced by one of his first hit songs, which we're going to play for you here. It's called Moo Moo Cow, You Are So Dairy.
Moo Moo Cow, yes, you are sacred. You are black and white and naked. Moo Moo Cow, yes, you are sacred. You are black and white and naked. Moo Moo Cow, oh yeah.
Now, Flula's first viral success on his YouTube channel were his vlogs, where he articulated his confusion around American idioms, okay? So his most viewed video to date, almost at 5 million views, is called Jennifer is a Party Pooper, 7:12 a.m.
Jennifer goes to the party and then poops, but she do it so people know. Where do she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? Maybe she go like by the tables with the gift and the present and the punches bowl. Jennifer, you have some mental issue.
And he's moved beyond the vlogs to successful series like Auto Tunes with Flula, which is a play on words in which he records an entire a cappella cover.
Yeah, he does like a he has his looping machine.
Right.
And he usually in the auto
collaborates with different YouTube guests. You know, he's worked with Grace, he's worked with Hannah, he worked with Miranda Sings, and a really popular one, I think his most popular auto tune so far.
Yeah, 2.5 million views.
Is the No Diggity cover with Chester C.
Play on, play that. Yo, Dwayne, top the verse. Ha, it's going down, fade to black. See the homies got Abby collab creations. Bump like acne, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my critical voucher dog couldn't catch me saying ouch. Tell me, who could someone say making moves? Attracting honeys like a magnet. Giving him orgasms with a mellow accent. Still moving his flavor with the original Black Streets and Teddy. The OG come shake us down.
Good Lord, baby got him open all over town. Sickly bitch, you don't play around. Never much drown.
So we're glad to have Flula sit in with us here and make an Ear Biscuit. I was personally very interested in the story of how he made the collaboration with Sir Mix-a-Lot happen.
Mm-hmm. Baby got back. We also talked about his backstory growing up in Germany.
Back, was that a pun on
his baby got backstory? In Germany, Coming to America, which is a movie, but it's also the story of
Flula
coming to America, including his stint as a mascot at the much hated, in around here on Ear Biscuits, school, UNC.
And we ask the $64 question, or the $25,000 pyramid.
I think it's $64,000 question.
The $64 million question. If he knows why he's funny. Does he know that he's funny at all? So we dove into that. Here it is, the Flula Biscuit.
My ex-girlfriend.
All right, warming it up.
Yeah, you talk about crisscross.
Oh, you know it.
My ex-girlfriend was almost in a relationship with half of Criss Cross. I don't know if it's the half that died or not.
Oh, Doc. Oh, Doc turn. Doc turn.
Pretty early.
Whoa. Which one died?
Cross.
Is
Chris?
You were following this?
Well,
Fula?
I know they're both Chrises, right? They're both Chrises? Like think, Chris something?
But they wore their outfits backwards.
They were totally crossed out.
Now, I knew when I said warming it up that you were going to latch onto that, just like we were talking about working on something together, and I think we've settled on you're going to let us be in your video with the salt and pepper push it.
Oh, you want to do a spot? It's a push it, what?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely we want to be
let us be
on your
you.
Channel.
No, this is my honor. This is like a free box of Pop-Tarts. If you give me this, I will eat all of those. Yeah.
But, I mean, you seem to be steeped in... I'm trying to put parameters on the music, on the either the genre or the time period. Because I think we're similar in age.
Yeah.
So what music are you obsessed with?
I have obsessions with, I think it's terrible music from the early 1990s.
Early 90s.
It is when you do not have taste yet as a child and just, oh, is it on the radio? This means it's great. And so I love it. So like 1990, 92, 94, I'm loving all of the old hip hop. So I really love this very much.
I listen to 93.5 here.
K-Day.
K-Day.
Oh, and, I love it.
They play the old school rap and I was listening
93.5?
To it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were one of the first stations to play, first hip-hop stations in America back in the day. But they still play the old-school stuff, and my kids were in the car, and they were playing that jam at the playground, and it's the kids.
At the playground, da-da-da-dee-da-da. That's another Bad Creation, ABC.
Oh, yeah.
They also sang Aisha.
Aisha, I want you so bad.
Not about them, don't mean I'm Buddha. They also had a song called Spider-Man, which sounds like Aisha, except they just say Spider-Man.
Well, you know,
Spider-Man.
If you've got a hook, you know, recycle it.
Recycle, yeah.
But
my
kids, when that song went off the radio... my kids don't understand the radio because they're in a digital age. And Lincoln was like, Dad, play the song again. And I was like, son, it was on the radio. And he did not understand that I couldn't play it again.
When did this happen? Recently?
Two weeks ago. And then he was like, play that playground song again. That was cool. His kids rapping. I was like, I can't play it again. It was on the thing called the radio that we'd never listened to.
Wow.
And then he said, well, download it. So now I got to, you know, download
in the moment. He was like, well, download it from the radio. But you're saying just later, download it.
Well, the fact is I could have downloaded it immediately.
Of course.
On my phone.
You could have, but not through the radio.
I wasn't willing to pay
$129. Properly informed about this. Well, speaking of music, Flula, you've been quoted as saying about your own music.
Yeah.
My music is like a hamster who has been fed some magic juice. The hamster is looking strange in the eyes, yes, which is probable from the juice. And the people are saying, dance, hamster. Dance from your hamster legs. And now, a secret. I am the hamster.
Yeah.
Can you put that in layman's terms?
In who terms?
Yeah. That means make that in a way, say that in a way that normal people can understand.
I'm a person who has like, do you know like a sponge? We are at a supermarket. We have purchased a sponge. What is in the sponge right now?
Air.
Nothing.
Yeah, serious, right? So you put a sponge in the earth and everything is coming to the sponge. You squeeze it, you squish it.
And dirt?
Oh, dirt and sound and poodles and everything is going into the sponge.
Right.
I'm like the sponge. And then an old man is walking by and then he does not see the sponge. It's small. He step on the sponge. What is occurring?
It all comes out.
Yeah.
Poodles and everything.
All of those things.
Okay.
What genre is your music? I mean, you're a DJ.
Well,
invent music.
Yeah, yeah. DJ is tough. It is everyone is a DJ now, right? You're like, oh, who are you, Thomas? Great, you're a DJ. You know, right. It doesn't matter. Anybody
DJ
can.
DJ Thomas.
DJ Thomas is a hot name. But I like to make weird sounds and sounds. Well, they're not weird. People say they are weird. I find things that are interesting, and then I just make loops with those, and I like to express, wow, ew, chicka-ticka-boom. Like anything that is in my brain, I bring it out. Everyone is. You are doing this. You guys are making videos. You know.
This is true, but I think there's. I don't know if I would describe our work as a hamster. I think that's one of the key differences.
What would you say, gerbil?
Maybe.
I don't know if I would use any small furry animal.
We've never sampled cows mooing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
We did hear your track. What was that one called?
Well, two names. Kuchen, which means tiny cow, or cake, if you're pronouncing it different, or Mumu cow for the American audience.
But it had a tagline that was like, you are so dairy.
Yeah, yeah. Mumu cow, you are so dairy. You are a heifer fairy.
And what year did you write that?
I did write that as a child, but it was before I was understanding how to write techno songs. So I have a tiny book where it is many poems as a child. And then I was taking these poems and making techno songs when I learned a very crappy software called EJ, which is EJAY. It's terrible. But then I was using this to make dope techno tunes.
As a child?
That was like 17, 18 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, but the poems are 9 years old, 10 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that was like one of the first songs to kind of like be like, oh, this guy is an artist.
I don't...
He's got a song about a cow.
Yeah, about cows. And I was sampling the cows. I live in... I'm from a small town close to Nuremberg. Nuremberg has a set history for Americans. It is the trials, place of the trials. Deborah Downer.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. The trials.
Do you know? Yeah, yeah. Not like Matlock or what, but the... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
German. So, I was working some summers in Garmisch-Partenkirchen, which is in Bavaria. And then we can ski there many winters there. Cows are there. Many, many, many cows. So I was recording those cows. And then, yeah, sampling.
Okay, so let's come back
to... Yeah, we'll come back to the cows.
Sampling as a child or writing poems as a child. But I did want to pick your brain about not only your music, but your video with Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, I'm tired of magazines. Saying black butts all the things. Take the average black man and ask him that. She got a pack much back. Where's my fellas?
Yeah!
We love all of the auto tunes.
Oh, thanks.
And that's why we're like, okay, we really want to be in one. This push it thing, let's make it happen.
We are doing it.
Super excited.
Oh, yeah.
Love the Chester C one. I mean, I knew that, you know. Okay, just reading the title, No Diggity with Chester C. No, I'm not surprised that it blew up as big as it did. I mean, it's in your top five performing videos, at least for now. I think, you know, things are still blowing up for you, but it was so satisfying when he starts singing.
Ugh.
It was just smart, the way that you set it up.
Well, we did not have so much planning. I just said, hey, but maybe you are a taxi, an Uber.
Right.
And then he's like, Uber? Then I say, let's record. and then we did do it. Yeah.
But you knew, I mean, the tension was going to build to him like busting out into that chorus, that Chester C.
He just got
voice.
Oh. He's got the pipes.
Pipes. He's having pipes. So yes. I do not own pipes. Don't right. Yeah,
but you were the perfect setup. It was like the tension was building to, oh, I, you know, can't wait for that. No diggity chorus.
Well, he can. Well, and I love this song. It is one of my most favorite songs. And I'm very happy he did like it. He's really did enjoy it. Yeah, it's like volleyball, like bump. I was bumping, and then he was
volleyball.
So he was he was ready for it. It wasn't like, you know that song, No Diggity. He was like, let me familiarize myself with it. It wasn't one of these situations like on American Idol where these kids are singing a song that we all know by heart and you can be like, oh, they've heard it twice.
Oh, no, he knew it.
He was in his bones.
He came from deep in the bones
with the pipes.
But I wanted to ask about the Sir Mix-a-Lot Baby Got Back auto-tune.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I love Sir Mix-a-Lot very much. This song is one of the top 10 hip hop songs, I think, in the history. So this is
ubiquitous.
Oh, right. So I love it. In Twitter, we have a friend. We are sharing a friend, me and Sir Mix-a-Lot. And so one time she's...
Who is this friend? Like a celebrity?
No. Well, yeah, she is. It's Miss Destructo, at Miss Destructo, Amber Osborne. She's very dope. She's like a very... She's like a social media guru expert person. And okay. We have connected some years ago. And one time she makes a tweet like, hey, Flula and Mix-a-Lot, you guys are cool, or something like this, or very nice. And I see it immediate. I did not realize he was on Twitter.
One tweet to both of you.
Yeah, and I immediately started, boom, we have to do
matchmaker.
It. Oh, yeah. And then we are following each other. Then I'm direct message, Mr. Mix-a-Lot.
Oh, he started following you at that point.
Oh, yeah, we did it because she was our, my friend and his friend also. And then I said, Mr. Mix-a-Lot, I think I said, sir, I don't know if I said something sir. Formal, maybe
he
sir.
He already was sir. You might as well go with it.
Right. So I did maybe what? Like, Sir Mix-a-Lot, I will drive to your house if you are scared of me, and we will record a song.
Let's, is this a direct message?
Yeah, direct message. And then he's like, yeah, great. I think he's probably receiving many things in life that he's like, yeah whatever. But I was like, yeah, boom. This is the time. This is the day. I have the car. Let's do it. And then he's like, yeah, this sounds boring. Let's do it different. And then I said, well, what if it has some dubstep? He's like, boom, let's do it. So then he said yes.
And he's local?
No, he's in Seattle.
Seattle.
So you drove from Los Angeles to Seattle.
Yeah.
Because you said, I will drive to your house.
Yeah. I did not care where he was living. Yeah. Does not matter.
So yeah. He gives you the address. Over Twitter, you figure out, you had to add dubstep into the mix in order for him to be interested.
Yeah, because he's like, I've sung this so many million times. Oh, yeah. I need some, hello, let's try something fresh, please, And I understand if I am a Mr. Sir Mix-a-Lot, this is boring. Let's try some new things. So we did it.
So you drove up there.
Yeah.
And what was that initial meeting like? Knock on the door type thing? Or was there a gate?
There was a gate. He was not there. He's like, oh, sorry, at the pharmacy, which was great. I was like, oh, he's a human. He purchases aspirins. That was nice. So I did wait, and then he did arrive, and then we go inside. He shows me studio, and then we shoot in...
What is Sir Mix-a-Lot's house like?
Very nice. Nice, dope mansion.
It's that big butt money.
Oh, I mean, big booty.
It's still coming in.
All days long.
Like fountains inside type situation?
Or? Outside. I did not see inside. Perhaps the water was off, but there was a statue.
Of himself?
No. That would be cool, though. Ah, next time. Next time.
He's probably got more self-respect
and then, than that. But then, the parameters are you have to shoot. This is like your rental car or your car?
Rental car. Yeah, rental car. Yeah, Suburban or what. Yeah.
But usually the car didn't move with Mix-a-Lot.
No, but the Vipers did.
Now, is that because he was like, let's just stay stationary?
No, it was raining.
You had to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and we also didn't have like a driver, and I was thinking maybe you just come in, like I will bop, and then you enter, and then we will start. And it was okay. I think it's nice to not move if you have a nice person like that. Like if it's only me, maybe better to drive or have like chickens outside or something outside. Yeah.
That worked out pretty great though.
Wow. I was very lucky and happy about it. He is also the bomb. He's so cool.
So easy to work with.
Oh, wow. So great. He's a producer, and so he's just great. Very great person.
And do you keep in touch now?
Little bit. Yeah, like after Seahawks, I did text to him because he's a big Mr. Like a Seattle Seahawks, the football. He loves it. So we will text and, hey, great work. Boom, 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 boom. And then he says something. I don't remember.
LA face with the Oakland booty.
Booty, what? Abba, abba. Oh, so good.
What's your favorite autotune that you've done? So far.
Oh, that's tough. I like many of those. In my mind right now to answer, it's perhaps because it's NBA playoffs. I did auto-tunes with Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, yeah. And a couple of ladies.
Some nice ladies. They are cheerleader spirits. Yeah, and for the Mavericks. And so we did sing Rolling Stone Satisfaction, which is a song.
Yeah. And Dirk, he can sing okay.
Dirk can. He's like a wizard of all the items.
He's a jack of all trades.
All of the jacks.
And he's a very big man.
He's a large person.
In the backseat of that car, especially.
Oh, it was sort you, of
standing out a little bit.
It was awkward. Yeah.
And yeah. You edit all of this too, I assume, right?
I do edit
it. Quite an editing exercise.
It is a lot of exercise. Yeah, it is a lot. But I enjoy to do it. It's a nice, it's creative. You guys, I think, are knowing it. Editing is like, this is where you make your breads. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. You purchase the ingredient, you know? Like you purchase the flour and
bread and butter.
Bread and butter, that's
yeah,
your
yeah,
edit.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So let's find out. We know where you're at now, right? So you're here in LA. You're making a go at it as a DJ. Now you've got the YouTube thing that caught our attention in the past year or so.
Great.
Big fans wanted you to be a part of the belly button video. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you guys. That was so very fun.
And yeah. And want to be part of an autotune.
Of course. But
let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning.
Boom, boom, boom.
So how does what were the what's the origins of Flula? You know, where were you born? How did that happen? What are your parents like?
Parents did make a magic time, but it was in Erlangen, which is a small town near to Nuremberg. And the Americans like Erlangen is how you will spell it. But Erlangen.
Erlangen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was born there. It's in Bavaria, it's North Bavaria. And I always did like music, always. I was always beatboxing. I have no brothers or sister or anything like that. So when I'm alone, it's like... So always making sounds and weird and drawing things. And I think always I was feeling like I have to get it out. It's like a bowel moving, but of good times. Yeah. And so this is, I think my start was I have to release it. What occurs if you do not release it?
How do your parents articulate this now back to you? We thought you were weird, or...
I think now they are okay with it. Before, a little bit was concern, like, what's occurring? What are you doing? They would want me to make... Because I was, like, an engineering major, a little bit, so they're like, let's do this. You are understanding math, please. Let's follow this.
Get a real job.
Real job. They are understanding this path better. But for me, it's, okay, that's good, but I do not feel, for me personally, it is right. I need something different.
Now, yeah. I was an only child. I grew up with a stepsister until third grade, and then my mom and Jimmy split up. And then it was from third grade on, it was just me and my mom. So I was basically living with no siblings. And I remember I would play solitaire on my bed. Actually, I wouldn't. I got that wrong. I would play poker against myself with cards on my bed.
Stop it. Well, that's sadder
that's
than solitaire.
Sad. I mean, that's sad, isn't it?
Because that's the whole point of solitaire.
Right. I would play poker against myself as a kid.
Who won?
Yeah.
I don't remember. But maybe I should have been beatboxing.
But why? Look what was occurring now. We're wearing headphones and speaking.
Yeah. I don't play cards, though.
It worked out.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't have a future in cards.
But
as crazy as it seems like you were onto something.
Well, I did not know it, I think. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
But what was, in terms of, I mean, all the music that we were listening to here in America, were you pretty much being exposed to the same stuff? So like that late 80s, early 90s, where I remember when we were in middle school, we started beatboxing. You know, there would be beatbox contests.
Oh,
like,
wow.
At the playground.
Round.
And so this kind of stuff was happening in Germany, too.
Well, no, not so much, I must say. And I will tell you, I'm not like an expert of beatboxing. I just enjoy it. So I do it. It is like a man who enjoys yoga. He's not like in the Yoga Olympics. He's just doing downward dogs all day long.
So you didn't have like, the real story is that we were two white kids that wanted to be able to beatbox like all the black kids that we went to school with.
And,
And so we would just watch them and listen to them and then try to emulate them. And it was like, oh, I think I can figure out what they're doing. And now let's do it. And now let's practice and let's kind of push each other.
Push it.
But how were you? You just like trying things out, moving your mouth around and...
Yeah, I was doing that. There's an old band. They're called the Fat Boys.
Oh, yeah.
The Fat Boys are back. Yeah. And they have one song. I don't know if it's allowed, but it's called My Nuts.
Yeah, that was it.
And so we say that here, yeah? My nuts. And the man is always... It's just a crazy one.
Yeah.
So I was always trying to do this a little bit. But in my school, not so many people... We are liking American culture. It is... it's still like this in Germany, but as a child, we have obsessing with everything. And it was like a perfect time because Michael Jordan was big. Uh-huh. And so I love basketball a lot. And so that was like many culture things are coming to us in right. this time, like Michael Jackson, the Dangerous album. This was a very big thing also. So I was listening to all of these things and I was trying to make a copy of it for sure. But not everyone was like that, I must say. Yeah.
Okay. And were you at this time like recording your stuff, like inventing stuff? Producing your own music?
You said you were writing poems.
Yeah, I was writing poems as a child. So I would write the poems and then it was, you know how we have like a phases, like of the moon, but longer and for your life, you know? So like I was like writing poems for like 3 years and then I did not know where's the book. Who knows? Time to collect stamps. But then I would find the book and oh, whoa, this is a cool poem about cows. And now I have some techno software. Let's make a song.
And what are some of the lyrics to that, to the dairy song, whatever it's called?
Yeah, Mumu cow, yes, you are naked. No, wait. Oh, yeah, Mumu cow, you are so dairy, you are a heifer fairy. That's my most popular line in this.
I can see why.
Mumu cow, yes, you are sacred, you are black and white and naked.
Okay, so yeah. Here's a question.
Yeah.
Do you know how funny that is?
No. I only am writing things I think are making sense and are a fun time. And maybe if they are rhyming or sounding good inside, boom, let's do it.
Because I'm going to tell you how I perceive that. When okay. I hear that, Mumu cow, you are so dairy. What? What's the next part?
You are a heifer fairy.
You are a heifer fairy. I'm like, okay, this guy is hilarious. And this guy's a little crazy.
Perhaps people have said it.
And so that's, and then I think, and that's why I like him, and I think that's why everyone else likes him. Do you see how people latch onto that? Because this song got kind of popular, right?
A little bit, yeah. It was a little bit. It was, yeah. I don't know.
When it happened, what were you like? Oh, they liked the hook, or were they? Or did you think? Oh no, they must understand that I'm funny.
I don't understand comedy, really. I'm only making items that I must make. You know, like you feel the pressure. It is like, let us eat. We are here with ear biscuits. Let us have 15 biscuits. Well, these may not just live in your place. Yeah, sometime they must come out. So if I'm seeing too many cows on the street in the pastures, I must record a song with the cows, and then I must release this song.
Was this a breakout hit? I mean, what was the... I'm trying to figure out where in the journey something popped for you, because at some point you come here to the States. Which came first, entertainment or the move? What was the next step?
So I was DJing in Germany first, and so to start, I was a Schuhplattler, a dancer. And so Schuhplattler is like the... You know the yodel, like I cannot yodel, but Schuhplattler are the men that are wearing the lederhosen and slapping legs and feet. We cannot show in a podcast because it is for ears only.
Like a folk dancer.
Yeah. Okay. And we are calling it Schuhplattler. So I was a Schuhplattler in a group, and I was doing this.
You were a dancer in traditional German dance.
That's right. Yeah. So more like it's like Bavarian a little bit. And so I was doing this.
Like you were dressed like a yodeler.
Well, with lederhosen, and we are all...
Where do you do this at? Like at festivals? Yeah. And
yeah, we have a club, we have a club, and then we go and we will have like at events, we will have at Volksfests, which just means like the people parties.
Like a fair.
A fair, yeah, but we do not have like the large pigs and you're like, oh, chicken fried dumpling hot dog in the Twinkie chocolate.
Right.
Yeah, we don't have...
You just had... Dancing.
And waffles, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we will do it at these parties, or sometimes it's just only for practice. You know, it's like old people are like, let's have a waltz club. Let's waltz together, old ladies. Mm-hmm. We had this with the Schuhplattlers. So I was starting with this. We have a DJ, and I was speaking to him about DJ times music, and that this is my start of making some music. And so then I was making music. But it was with like a good tape recorder, like a recorder of tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, boom. And then blah, 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 blah. Right? This is something. Yes. I'm speaking too many words now.
No, I got you.
Then I was making some techno songs, and then the cow song was a starter, many of some that I was making.
Okay.
The video was helping. This is before YouTube. I did write the song many years ago.
But you made a video with it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And where did you put the video?
Well, before it was not on YouTube. It was like on my page in some way. It was like an old video on old website. And then when YouTube was there, I was like, ah, blurp, I will pump it up. I will upload it just for a fun time. And so, yeah.
But it involved a tape recorder and actual cattle.
Cows. Yeah, cows. Yeah, yeah.
But what was the video?
The video was I did have some friends, and I also a suit for cows, and so I did dress with the cow suit, and then we did just film it.
And this isn't on your channel now, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you may see it. I did make a re-releasing of it. It was feeling a little like, so I was like, let's make it a little more better. So I did. I learned some editing and then
remix.
Remix. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out. So you put that on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then, when did you get to the States?
So
when did the YouTube traction start to come, or was it music traction first?
So I was always working in Germany, a little bit. Then I did so this is crazy, but my friend David Gentoli, you may not know this person, but perhaps some listeners will know him. He is on the show Grimm on NBC.
Yeah.
It is a monster show. He's an actor. He was backpacking some years ago in Germany, and we did meet. We're like, beers, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you should come to, come visit sometime. And then, so I did. So I did visit with him in Los Angeles some years ago, like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, with my cousin. And we did live on his balcony in a tent for a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You lived in a tent?
Yeah.
On the balcony of the dude from Grimm, television show's house.
This is before he was like a big actor person. Like he was just... I think just making like auditions for like commercials.
Just
things.
A guy with a balcony at that point.
You met him backpacking in Germany?
He was backpacking, yeah. And I was working as a DJ at a Hofbräuhaus, like a party house, a beer house. And then he was like, hey, do you have this song? Play this song. And then we start talking. And then I realize he's American and he's from St. Louis.
Yeah.
And I have obsession a little bit. I do not know why, but like they have like this Aussie something man from baseball. And I like he makes weird flips.
Ozzie Smith. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Flipper. And I was like, then we start talking and beers are occurring. And then boom, he's like, come, you must find me when you are coming to America.
And you did. He didn't think you would.
I don't know. Yeah. He later said, "Why? I do not know why. Why did this occur?" He was a surprise.
He forgot.
I think so.
But he let you sleep on his balcony in a tent.
For 5 months.
With another guy.
With another guy, my cousin. Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah. And then this is, so this was my first, like, let's make music. And then this was when I realized I must come to America, because America in my brain is like a megaphone. Right. If you want to spread your energies to the world, Los Angeles is a place where you may do it. You make it here, then people can hear all your things. It's now different with YouTube. You can make upload in Schnuppel Schnappel Dinkle Donk. What is this place? Who cares? Do they have internet? Perfect. You may upload.
Right.
But before it was a place. You're
you need to be in LA.
Yeah.
But hold on. Because you told us about the whole mascot at the Tar Heel mascot thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to tell us how that fits into this whole thing.
Yeah.
Being graduates from NC State, our arch rival, at least in our minds, are the UNC Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Who in UNC Tar Heel minds, arch rivals are Duke University Blue Devils. But if we have to get into that, we will.
Yeah, yeah.
But first you got to tell us that you were the Tar Heel mascot?
For 8 games. yeah. Yeah, I was not fired. I retired.
This is before that.
I was retired.
Yeah, this is before the LA thing or after?
This is college time. So I've been to America, sometimes. When I was in college in Germany, we did exchange. So I had one semester in Chapel Hill in North Carolina. And so I like to explore many weird things. And this was, my friend, he was on the same, it's a dormitory, yeah? He was some doors down, and he was the mascot.
He was the UNC Tar Heel.
Rameses. Yeah. And so I did see it, and I said, Todd, I have to do this.
I have to take your job.
Yeah.
Well, no one will know because we're in a suit.
We're wearing masks. I mean, problem is I'm, 35 centimeters taller than Todd. So some people will know, and the mascot suit not made for people, as you know.
Yeah.
Tall dudes not good for the suit. Crotch pressures.
So hold on, did you wear this the same suit?
Of course.
This was a clandestine. This was a under the table operation where you slipped into the suit with no permission?
Todd said yes.
Wow! This is.
You have to jump around and stuff. You have to know routines, right?
Jump up and get down.
Not just that, though. But there's a certain level of respect for the position that there's probably somebody out there. My brother graduated from Carolina.
How does this work in your brain?
Well, I mean, you know,
bitterness.
Yeah, we don't talk about it. Okay, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, under rocks.
Not to mention that your wife graduated from there.
Yeah, yeah,
and that you dated her while she was still attending there. And I gave you a hard time about that.
I blocked that out. But what I'm saying, I'm using my brother as an example because my wife doesn't care about UNC sports at all. You know, a little bit, but there's this like, oh, hold on, you were Ramses and. You were basically, you know, it was like Link said, it was clandestine. No one knew that you were doing it. Oh, you disrespected the position.
Oh, I say no because I was bringing many hot energies. I was burning many calories and I did study. You know, I was watching all the game, watching Todd. What does he do? How does he hold a baby? How does he say go team?
You had to hold babies?
Two times, yeah.
Wow.
But a dangerous baby hold is a problem for the lawsuits. So
yeah.
So I did learn very fast.
Did you have any kids cry because you got close to them?
No. One baby, actually, it is an NC State man, slapped at a child. I was like walking around like la la la, go, Tar Heels. And then the mascot suit make a rotation. So the eyes are now where my ears are now living. And so I cannot see. I am blind. And then I make an adjust, put the helmet back, and I see. And it is a child who's red in the face from the paint. He's maybe 8 years old and give me double birds.
Yes!
Double birds.
Yeah, just like my son would do if he were
trained. Yeah. Well trained.
Yeah, I agree.
We hate the Tar Heels.
I think that's
I
great.
I like you, Flula. But,
oh, thanks.
Yeah. I like that you
stole into the costume. I do like that.
Yeah.
But you were the Ram during basketball games.
Basketball games. The best time.
I mean,
time.
That's big time.
I did think so. I was really enjoying it.
Halftime show, you were like cavorting out there in the middle. Isn't there some sort of choreography involved in this?
Well, the Ramsey suit, the head is a very large thing. It is not like for flipping. Like I've seen other, like, you know, like the mascots in the NBA, it's like time for
dunking. Yeah.
The Ramsey mascot is like, he's like a large marshmallow person. He's like the Kool-Aid boy or what? He's like, what may he do? He can bust a wall. He can bust a wall and serve a beverage.
Right.
This is, and hold a baby.
T-shirt cannon?
No, we had no cannons. Oh. So as the cheerleaders are flippy, I can just go, number one, and then go into crowds, high five.
And you're like facing the wrong direction. Because
probably. Yeah.
Were you found out?
No.
You just gave it up. You were like, too sweaty in here.
It was very hot and it's much sweat. Perspiring's every place. Yeah.
And Ty was like, I want my job back.
Well, and the suit. Right? Well, and only was the deal was, and we're sometimes trading it, so I was second half. He was like, I will sweat very hard inside. You will not go first half, and I have to live in your perspirings.
Oh, but you
he let you take over.
Yeah, wow. It was a sloppy, as you say, what sloppy?
Sloppy seconds.
I don't say that.
Ah, okay. Someone is saying it.
Wow. You never got in trouble.
No.
And then did you get a degree or you went back to Germany or
exchanged? One semester. So, yeah, so my degree was an engineering degree.
We have that in common. That's the three of us.
Oh, we're NC State is engineers.
Yeah, both of us have engineering degrees. So we should engineer something. The three of us could do something.
Did you get an engineering degree? Did you finish?
Yeah, I did finish, but I did not use it.
Which one do you have?
Environmental engineering.
Oh.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
We cover everything.
What are you guys?
civil and industrial for Link.
Oh, we can build a pony.
We can build a working pony.
Let's build a pony.
Yeah.
That's the application.
And you have to get in it for the second half.
I will do it. Second half pony dance.
Oh, it's going to be mechanical and you're able to get it. Two of us. You know what? Two of us can get inside of it and one of us can ride it.
I have seen your pony. I have seen your pony video.
Dope zebra.
Yeah.
Oh, a zebra. Sorry.
And that wasn't us inside it.
Oh.
We made it seem like it was, but it wasn't.
Smart work, guys. Outsourcing.
Okay, so fast forward back to sleeping on the tent in Los Angeles. Is this when things started to snowball for you?
It was a time when I was thinking we must come to Los Angeles. And so we did do it, and we have some videos of this time. I was thinking I must come here to make a spread of my music, but what was a sad time is I did not think about visas and legal issues, and so I was deported, and it did not take so long. It was 4 months, 5 months, and then boom, back right, to Germany.
Okay, yeah. And that's when you see the video early on in
your
channel.
Because you can't get a DJ visa.
Well, yeah.
I'm in Germany, and then you're with that's your grandfather?
Yeah, my opa, my grandfather, and then those are my poodles of my parents, and then döner, which is a Turkish, very tasty, nice food, and then bread also.
So you kind of made that a song.
Right. Like when you are, like you know it, guys, when you are feeling depression, what occurs for you guys?
You want the things of home.
Right. You are missing the home times.
I'll eat some ice cream, but a doner or whatever that is, never heard of that.
You would like it.
Is that a meat?
It's a meat. Yeah, it is a meat. Meat with a nice sauce in a nice little Fladenbrot, which is like a bread time. And then you have like, if onions do, if you like it, then whoop, whoop.
But you made your way back to LA. It didn't take the deportation.
Yeah. So now, then I was away for some years. And I always travel. So if I have job, I will come back to America. And if it's a hosting or music or what. But now for 2 years, I'm now living a little bit more in Los Angeles.
What was the breakout? What was the thing that you started getting hosting gigs? What was the big thing that popped?
DJ gig. DJ music gigs and also hosting because I'm so not, I think they were like, oh, you are different. So here's a job. And so I would make hosting jobs of like Battle of the Bands. Do you know Battle? Like it's a Battle of the Bands. Here's who's going to win it. Oh, I don't know. And for some reason, I don't know, not know why, they did hire me to make a host of these things.
And that goes back to kind of what I was saying before with the perception of, you know, like the Dick Cow song. So it's just like, I think what people see is they're like, oh, hey, let's get Flula. He's German. He's kind of crazy. I love the way he talks.
Clueless. Have you ever heard or read people describe you? Would they say something harsh?
You mean like the film Clueless?
Yeah, like if they would say that, oh, this guy's from Germany, he doesn't know how to speak English, isn't he funny? Let's do a battle of the
like
bands.
People taking advantage of you is what I'm saying. Like, do you think that people are like, oh, let's bring him into this scenario where, you know, he doesn't know why he's being funny right now?
Well, for me, it is, if you are giving me a job, who's caring? I don't know. Is it a job? Great. Does it pay some dollars or euros or who cares? A hard drive? Pay him to me something? Great.
You've been paid in a hard drive?
Yeah, a Seagate 250 gigabyte hard drive.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever it takes.
Yeah, this was the college battle of the bands. They were like, they needed a host.
And they paid you in a hard drive?
Well, I did negotiate for two after the end because I know I did do a good job. So I said, this was great. Why was it good? May I have another hard drive? So it was two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't concern yourself with that. You're just like, I'm here, I'm having a good time, and I'm not thinking too much about why people might be asking me to do this. Because I, just as somebody who's observing your career, I'm thinking, you know, I know why we were like, you know what? We should get Flula to be in this video because I was just thinking, you know what? Let's just give Flula a phone and let him be himself, and we know it's going to be funny.
Oh, great.
We know it's going to be funny, yeah.
And it totally worked.
Oh, good.
And then when you, if you know, a lot of people will give you, will give this away now, you click on Link's face at the end of the belly button video, you go to the secret video, which is Flula just ad-libbing at the end, and it was, I mean, everyone on set was having a very difficult time containing themselves as you were just being yourself.
Oh, that's nice.
And so I'm saying that's how we perceive it.
I don't, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you ham it up.
Well, sometimes I go to a world, right? Like if something's occurring, you guys, you're like, hey, you must teach us about belly buttons. What has occurred? Well, then I just go into my brain and I enter a world and I just speak from that place. I don't really know what's occurring. If you are liking it, that's very great. But I have also been to places where, like, we hate you. You suck a large cheese ball. You know,
you do not get a hard drive today.
Yeah, no hard drives for you. Sorry,
not one, not two.
Yeah, use the cloud.
But was there a point when you were like, oh, I okay? These Americans are really digging this. They're digging what I'm.
Azul. Yeah.
When I do this cow song, when I do this, when I dance in this way, and then you're like, oh, I can keep doing this and I can get more successful and I can have a career in entertainment. Like, was there a point where you were like, that's kind of clicked?
It's maybe you guys too proper. Like when I see people are liking something, like if I receive many views, like I made a vlog. I did make a vlog about Daddy Long Legs, this insect.
Yeah.
It did receive all in sudden many views. So I was thinking, oh, people enjoy vlogs from me. Great. I shall make more vlogs.
Like the party pooper.
So party pooper. Yeah, yeah.
Party pooper was the after the Daddy Long Legs?
After. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And party pooper is like the number one video.
For me, it is the most. Yeah, yeah. And I now for the vlogs, I just, if something is hitting me, like, oh, I should, this is in my brain weird. Let's make a vlog about it. And right. Then I release. And some, who knows, they do receive no views. Who, you know, but I think people are do enjoy my brain to spit it out.
Yeah.
Especially with the cultural differences. Like, okay.
Right. I think so.
Right. If you were to go to Germany and do the same bit, we'll call it, about the party pooper, they would be like, I don't understand why this is funny.
Right. So, and as internet is everywhere, you know, so the Germans may see this party pooper video, but they don't understand because they don't know. I think in America and perhaps other English places, they know this thing. And they know that they can see, oh, this is a different perspective of the same thing. And so maybe that is why we have success. I don't understand the internet.
But you now understand what a party pooper is.
Now I know it. Yeah, I know that Jennifer is not very interesting. And if you are wanting to have a good time, you will not make an invitation to Jennifer. That's what I've learned.
Right.
But you know, and as I kind of hear your questioning, I kind of reflect on our motive in asking Flula to be in the intro to the belly button song. Okay, who could be the perfect guy to be in the know about something that two idiots who never even discover their belly buttons? We knew that you would be funny, but there was actually, I guess, another thing which we never had to discuss that was, wouldn't it be funny if a guy who's perceived as not only being funny, but being clueless to culture is our source for knowing this thing that everybody knows, that you got a belly button.
Right. This is our authority.
Is there a sense of people kind of, is that a sensitivity to you? Do you get concerned that people see you as an outsider who just doesn't get it and they find me funny?
Oh, no. For me, it is, if I am seeing that people are enjoying my things, fun from any way, for any angles, I don't care. Like, I like to spread my energies. This is my goal, is let me spread it. And if people enjoy it, great. If they're like, oh, you are a silly, dumb goose face, okay, that's a nice reaction. I think it's most sad if you make something and nobody is caring. Like, hey, here's my soup. And then you come back, who has eaten the soup?
Nobody.
Yeah, right. That's sad.
You don't want that.
Yeah, but there's a difference between not being, intelligence and kind of a culture difference. They're two different things that I think in a lot of people's minds, they say, well, this guy can't, his English is not as great as mine, or his cultural understanding is not the same as mine. They equate that with unintelligence.
Ah, yeah. Well, for me, it is like exposing, right? So many times I've not had your exposing for these, to your phrases, to your idioms. So for me, they are new. Also, sometimes I am understanding what it is meaning, but it is so stupid to me, right? It's like, what? Why are we putting the proof in the pudding?
Ah, so you're the smart one.
Well, no, I don't know. I'm only seeing it in a different... You have seen
I think that's my point exactly, is that we instinctively equate those things. Like, when I go to France and, you know, all of a sudden, I'm like, I think people are perceiving me as an idiot because I feel like I'm not smart. I can't communicate, and I get really frustrated.
Yeah, me also. Here, I do also. Also, für mich wäre es einfacher, wenn ich einfach Deutsch sprechen könnte. It is always, I'm a constant making a switch to English. And that is right. A frustration. If you are in France and you have a feeling you cannot express, then you are feeling like an idiot. At least that is how I am feeling. It's hurting my brain to make constant switch, constant.
But the thing is you haven't let it prevent you from coming at the people and talking to them. You know, like we met at, was it VidCon?
VidCon,
is that
yeah.
Where we met?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you know, that's one thing, but just the fact, having the courage to make
the comfort,
YouTube videos.
The comfort.
Yeah, and put yourself out there in that way, and then people start perceiving it. I mean, you know, one of the reasons that I think it works so well is that YouTube is such a personality-based thing. People fall in love with personalities. It helps if you're also talented. And you've got good ideas like the auto-tune thing, that something people can latch on to, and that works really well in the context of YouTube. But yeah, we're excited to see it growing, because I mean, right as soon as we met you and we looked at all your stuff, we were like, oh, this guy is we think Flula's about to blow up.
Oh, wow. Know?
Because it's just. And it's cool. I think you're in the process of that happening. One of the things that you're doing is you're collaborating with a lot of people. You know, we see you in a lot of different videos. You obviously have people show up to be a part of the Auto-Tune series, but you're in like Grace and Mamrie and Hannah's videos. You know, how did you get to know them, and how are you collaborating with them?
Yeah, well, no, I'm learning that is the good time. First of all, it's a very great community, the YouTube place. Like, I love all these people. To meet those guys, I'm trying to... Oh, Grace. So Grace, she did cover when she had a show some years ago with Daily Grace. Yeah, I did Daddy Long Legs. So she was making it. She had a Sexy Friday show.
Yes.
Sexy Friday, sexy. Yeah, and so I was in it. Because Daddy Long Legs.
Okay.
And so this was the start. So that is how.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so that was the first video of yours that was going viral?
That was the. So the most big. The first one was I'm in Germany, Opa Poodles, when I was deportated. Uh-huh. Then this received some views. Then it was Dirk.
Like half a million, probably.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so then was I make the song for Dirk Nowitzki, my hero. The German Moses, and then was, I think, Daddy Longlegs was like the number three one that was receiving some views.
And then Grace is, you know, she's pushing that one.
Yeah.
She's helping.
Oh, that was great. And then I was in a studio audience for What's Trending? Do you know the show Trending?
Yeah.
And I was just watching it, and then Hannah was in the show. And during the show, she looked at me like we are cousins. And so I was like, oh, yeah, I know also you. And then we did hug and then have some, I can know you from Daddy Longlegs. And so we did hang out.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then, and then those guys did show me, we did meet Mamrie from this.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. They are very great. I like those ladies.
She's got the UNC connection too.
Yeah. And then we did connect because Tor Heels, she was also. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Very fun.
Now, okay, this is a little bit off topic, but I've got to ask you about it.
Let's do it.
You're the first non-American to participate and medal in the Redneck Games.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
Which is
where are they?
It's in Texas, right?
In Texas, from Dallas, it was like in the, as you say, the boondocks, right?
Middle of nowhere?
Oh, wow. Who is it? Where? We don't know. Yeah. I was there with a television crew. And they did come, and they're like, we want you to also maybe participate a little bit. So I did with my cousin Jürgen. it was the mattress chunk, they're calling it. It was
throwing a mattress.
So you must throw the mattress from the truck, the hinten, the bed. So you sit in the bed of the truck and vup, you throw the mattress.
You're part of a two-man team.
Two persons. Yeah. And we were third place. So we
bronzed.
Did bronze. We bronzed it. So it's a medal, but almost not medal. So we was lucky.
Were you welcomed in that crowd, or were they like, get these guys out of here?
They liked it. I think it's always nice, a little spice, right? Yeah. Look at all the pepper. Where's the salt? We need some salt. Yeah.
How far did you throw the mattress?
I do not. It was probably 9 meters, perhaps eight meters. Pretty, I would say I was more with push ups and bench press in this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were pumped up at that
time. I was pretty pumped. Yeah.
What other videos started to pop for you next? Was it you got into the auto tune after like Daddy Long Legs and kind of the cultural idiom differences?
Yeah.
Was that the next thing?
Those were the next. So the idioms was good. Like fish in a barrel was the one people did enjoy. Like shooting fish in a barrel. Mm-hmm. Those was nice. Or happy as a clam also was weird. And then, the auto-tunes.
So you started that afterwards.
Yeah, auto-tunes. I think I was realizing I'm a musician and people don't know it. So what may I do that is interesting for me and then also perhaps for other people? And that was auto-tunes. So I was starting to make more of those.
And that became like the big thing on your channel.
Yeah, and it's interesting. They are so hot. I must do more. We must make our nice auto tunes. We will make it. It will be fun.
And you're doing other things too. Like you're trying the 10-minute. I've got 10 minutes.
Tell me what to do.
Tell you what to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I will make this. I will tweet like, I have 10 minutes with a jacuzzi. Tell me what to do. And make the film Jaws. So I did make the film Jaws in the jacuzzi.
With the hand.
Oh, very real.
Whose jacuzzi was that, by the way?
That was a neighbor friend. Not really. That was a hotel.
I just said that was a...
That's a nice neighbor friend.
Nice balcony. There's no tent on that balcony.
No tents. No time for tents, dear.
Where was that? That was in like Malibu or something.
This was in Mexico.
Mexico.
I did have a private DJ gig, and they said, we would like for you to come to have a DJ gig for our family for a birthday party. And
what?
So, I know, very strange. So I will receive...
In Mexico?
Yeah, it's very weird. I have a strange... I do not know why, but it was in Cabo San Lucas.
Oh.
And it was they're like, we love you, we will like you, we are large fans. Our daughter's having a birthday, but you must DJ the party. So they did Flam It Down.
Like, how old is the daughter?
She was 18.
Okay.
Yeah. So not so weird. Yeah.
Eight is
weird.
8-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, that would be awkward. Yeah.
I don't know. 18-year-old daughter is kind of weird for now a different reason.
Really?
Hey, dad is in. Your dad flew me down.
So
you're finally legal. Let's date.
Oh, ouch. Oh. Ouch. No. It was surprise. It was like, surprise here. Watch out. Who is it? Flula, awa, bom, 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 bom. Yeah.
And was it like the daughter and the mom and the dad and you, like the four of you kind of dancing?
Well, no, that was one song. We did have that one. But most, that was CNC Music Factory. We did this. But everyone, the party, children, and not children, but.
Big party.
Big, yeah.
A lot of people?
80, 100 people. Yeah.
Well, now
sounds like some rich people.
Perhaps I think so.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, that was
how many hard drives you get for that one?
yeah, exactly.
It was a hard drive with Bitcoin on it.
You know it.
But we've had the privilege of experiencing your DJing.
Oh.
You know, at the Playlist Live Collective.
That's right.
Party, and I gotta say, you move a lot more than any DJ that I've ever seen. And I just don't mean bobbing the head, but I mean leaving the station.
Yeah.
And entering the dance floor.
Yeah.
It happened several times.
Most of the time, I feel. Yeah. For me, that is the most important part. If you are a DJ, do you not enjoy the music that you play?
Yeah. Yeah. But I was just worried that you leave what do you call it? The
turntables.
Yeah. The home.
Home base.
Your spin home. Yeah.
You leave home base.
Yeah.
Someone could come in. Fill the spot.
Oh, but this is you must have the trust of the group. I guess, yeah, you're right. It has not happened before.
So you normally leave the yeah. go and dance.
I will go and dance.
You dance with this 18-year-old girl and her friends?
Well, with friends, everyone must watch. We're not, it's not like me and lady and like we're a private closet. That's awkward. It is public. Everyone may see.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what are your, what's your plan? What are, what's next for your channel? And from here on out, I mean, you're going to have an album, more series on your YouTube channel.
So I'm making right now an EP.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So that's for me, that is five songs. And just like, these are songs that maybe are more like sounding like a professional sound. Like many times I make weird songs that are hook, I just want to make it, let me get it out. You know, like I have a song about leftovers and I just did make it in my refrigerator, was sitting in it and did make the song. Boom, release, we are done. But these are like, I want to make like real songs that are sounding more like, you know, professional. So this okay. is one goal. This will occur hopefully in the next some months. In the channel, more auto tunes. They are some time consumed for me, but mm-hmm. I love those very much. More mm-hmm. vlogs. I'm now starting something German with a German with Flula. So I am teaching some German phrasing.
Okay.
To the audience.
Flip the script, so to speak.
What
do you call that series?
German with a German with Flula.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, that's the name. And so I want to do, I'm doing more of these. We must do one. They're very easy. Today I did one, Scheißfreundlich, which means poop friendly. So it is how we say in German, if someone's like, oh, how are you? Oh, so nice. Oh, you look great. Like, we cannot see it in the cam. We have no cameras here, yeah. but it is fake.
They're not being sincere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Scheißfreundlich, poop friendly.
Poop friendly.
Poop friendly. Well, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. But so we are teaching this. I want to do more of the other series. I have.
Scheiß what?
Freundlich.
Oh, that's what Scheiß is.
So Scheiß. Scheiße.
Freundlich. Freundlich.
Perfect. Yeah, it's good.
Mm. Scheiß freundlich.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Really?
Yeah. Scheiß freundlich.
Freundlich.
Yeah, the most difficult I've seen with Americans is the CH. Yeah, freundlich.
Freundlich.
Yeah, yeah.
Freundlich.
Yeah, most Americans, it is hard as lick. They will say lick, not lich. And that is, for us, it's like the TH is sometimes hard for us.
Yeah.
In American, like that's English, sorry. That's hard.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, yeah, more things, more items are coming.
Okay, and you've got this camera here.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, so what's going on?
So right now, my friend Alex, he's filming, he's making, calling it the Flulamentary, a documentary about Flula, me. He's just thinking, I have a strange life. It's like, you have a very strange life. Perhaps, maybe I will film it. And so I say, yes.
Okay, so maybe Ear Biscuits is a scene in your documentary.
You know it. And then we will get some cheese and have some ear triscuits. the snack for your mouth.
We'll think about it.
We make all kinds of puns about the Ear Biscuits. So, I mean, you want to add triscuits. In fact, you know what? We could get triscuits as a sponsor.
Oh.
I'd be willing for a pretty penny, maybe for a few hard drives. To change hard the drives. Name of this to Ear Triscuits.
Let's work on it.
And I like Triscuits. If
Triscuits follows you, you can probably work something out. And also introduce us to Mix-a-Lot.
Oh, I will do both.
But now it's time for you to sign the table. Thanks for hanging out, man. It's been good to get to know you.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Very fun.
This is very great. I may sign your table.
There you have it, our Ear Biscuit with Flula.
Clearly a hilarious dude. How self-aware of how hilarious he is still a question mark.
I'm not sure. I will be pondering Flula for the rest of the evening. Hopefully I won't have any dreams about him, because it'll just be this German guy singing about heifer so fat. What did he say? What is the lyric to that? I can never remember it. You so
naked cows.
Moo moo cow, you are so dairy. Something like a heifer fairy?
Yeah, something like that. But we should get him to DJ our birthday party in Cabo San Lucas. That's pretty great.
Yeah, I will. You know what? Maybe we can stop a little short of that and just have him like DJ like a work Christmas party.
Or does DJ every like one of our Wednesdays or any day of the week, really? It's Flula Day at Rhett and Link. Here he is. He's back.
Well, you know, like I said, I wasn't blowing smoke when I feel like we talked to Flula at a time when I feel like his career is on an upswing. You know, we talked to a lot of people who were talking about, when you busted out on YouTube in 07 or whatever, it's interesting to talk to somebody who...
It's happening with him right now.
Yeah, there's this sense that
this
like...
This is a big year.
You start seeing him show up in all these different videos, and everyone you talk to is like, that dude is so funny, you know?
I'm going to fly him to Cabo San Lucas.
Yeah, and you know, you gotta wonder what that girl's parents thought when she was like, "Hey, Dad, we gotta have this German DJ at my birthday party in Cabo."
He's anything like, for you, daughter.
And he's like, "Let me look this guy up." He thinks his music is like a hamster. Sure, we'll fly him in.
Bet you I can pay him in hard drives. All right, yeah. So, tweet at Flula. Let him know what you thought of his ear biscuit. Also, hashtag ear biscuits when you're speaking to us on the Twitter. We enjoy your feedback and also value your review on the iTunes. So, thank you for doing that.
And if you are associated with Triscuits in any way, I will not say this is an official endorsement or a request for sponsorship. But I will say, I love Triscuits. I love all the varieties. I've never had a variety of Triscuit that I've not thoroughly enjoyed. They're especially good when you're camping. You know, when you're just out camping and you got some salami and some cheese and you throw them on a Triscuit.
Or when you're camping on someone's balcony.
Yeah.
Or when you're not camping.
And
see how good this could be, Triscuits? All right, thank you for being a loyal, ear biscuit listener.
It always gets us choked up when we think about you.
Thank you. And we will deliver another one to you next week. Can we count on you?
Boom!
I knew we could.